Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and we got a very special show tonight because George and I went to VoiceOver Atlanta last week, and we're still recovering.
I did not come home with COVID. I had
neither did I.
I came home clean. We're very grateful for that.
We are. And we've got some great interviews from that. And also, if you were there, we'd like to hear from you on your impressions of it as well. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But right now, let's get into the show and what we've got on VoiceOver Body Shop right now. VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, the home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, the folks who bring you Source Connect. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. VoiceActor.com, your voiceover website ready in minutes. VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for voiceover success. And by World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. And now, here's your hosts, Dan and George. Well, hello there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Yeah, we just added that little thing with us rotating around. That was part of VO Atlanta.
That was so funny, but so great.
Yeah, we figured, we'll just throw it in the intro. It's funny. Anyway, we had a great time there. But to explain to you what we're going to see for the next few minutes is a couple of great interviews that we did to give you a good idea of what it takes to put something like that together. And again, we'd like to remind you, if you are at VO Atlanta, we'd love to hear from you. You can actually come on the show and give us your comments about what you thought of it, you know, yay or nay or great or whatever.
Are you going to go back? Yeah. What you liked about it versus other conferences you've been to? What maybe you learned?
Yeah.
Keep it under a minute, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to keep it to a minute so we can get a lot of people on.
Exactly. So if you want to be on, put it in the chat room and Jeff Holman will direct you all to where you need to go so you can be on the show. Anyway, why don't we get to those interviews right now, and we'll talk to you right after these, so don't go away. Here we go. And, you know, it's like, I haven't seen you since 2007.
I know. I'm supposed to be meeting clients and meeting my own clients and meeting new, but we're having just as much fun meeting all these vendor contacts, industry folks, and just our colleagues in the business.
Right. Well, and of course, you know, after the pandemic, we were both suffering from massive hug debt.
That's right.
Which we've been making up for in the time that we've been here.
Yeah.
It's great meeting some new vendors and some companies that we haven't talked to before. We're talking to the guys from Rode, and they've got that new microphone, the NT1 or Gen 5.
NT1 Gen 5, which is the replacement. They told me it's going to completely replace the NT1s, and it's the new hotness, and it's got USB with this Magic Sauce 32-bit float. I know I've talked about it a bit on the show, but we'll have some time with that mic later on to really explore what that really means.
Yeah. So it's been fun. You know, I haven't been to a big conference in a long time. Well, nobody has. So it was good that, you know, we're here and, you know, explaining to people what we do. You're George the Tech. You know, I'm here representing World Voices as president and getting people to know who we are and, you know, telling them they should join and come to our conferences and all those sorts of things.
But how about that one panel?
Oh, well, there was the one panel that Paul Stricquerda moderated.
What was, I was up on stage. You were in the audience.
I should have been the one up there because I know how to explain that one a little bit better, maybe with more attitude, but. It was about voiceover awards. And, you know, I have a very strict interpretation of that. Voiceover awards is a signed check from your client.
Mm-hmm.
And that is justification and remuneration for this.
It's getting the next job from that client.
Exactly.
That's the real award.
Right. Recognition awards should not have to be paid for. It's like it should be your peers saying this person has done an important thing, you know, or that was a great performance. But the categories are all sort of arbitrary and silly. You know, some people were defending it, saying, "Oh, but no, somebody, Stefan, what's his last name? I never met him before, so but you know, he was an interesting guy."
Stefan?
Yeah.
Stefan, the actor who's quite a few awards. Yeah,
the multilingual actor.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, my business, you know, doubled after I won this award from this particular organization.
That's kind of a tough metric to really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is.
Correlation, causation, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's a multilingual actor, right. And he's very good. He's got a great voice.
He certainly deserves it.
Yeah. I mean. But was that the reason that he got. But what he was saying was that he marketed himself using that, saying, you know, as a pseudonym public relations person to promote himself, saying he won this award.
That's what I say about those award shows. Like their real value is as a marketing tool for the actor.
Right.
It's making yourself feel good. It's supporting your peers. But at the end of the day, you're running a business and it's supporting your marketing. It's really how I feel it's most important. But I also was glad that they talked about, that Rob Siglin-Paglia talked about a little issue in transparency about the judges, and there's a little bit of conflict of interest that occurs, or sometimes a lot. That was his biggest concern.
Yeah, and then Paul was talking about, you know, I researched this company that's doing this particular thing, and he did not have favorable things to say about them.
No, you know, we know Paul. He's not afraid to name names and be a little bit pot stirring.
Yeah.
He can be a little divisive, but I think he had a good point to make.
Yeah, but he moderated it very nicely. You know, I mean, you know, there were other people on the panel, you know, Rob Siglin-Paglia and Karen Guilfree.
Right.
And Hugh.
And Hugh.
Yeah, and Hugh...
Hugh, you know, being someone representing the actual award shows because he runs one.
Right, but he doesn't charge for running those awards. However, it's all part of a conference that people pay to come to. And that's an attraction to that.
I thought his transparency on that was really good. I thought he's like, you know, this is a part of a three-legged stool. He didn't use those words, but we have these organizations, and the awards part isn't profit making,
right?
But it's part of a profit making venture that does help everything else. Right. So I appreciated that transparency.
Right, yeah, and that was the thing. Paul was looking for a word, and I was sitting there with our good friend Larry Hudson, and I'm like, transparency, and then Hugh said it.
Yeah,
and transparency is very important. You know, I think with any organization. When you join an organization, what is it that they're actually doing? Are they really working for the benefit of the community? Or are they driving someone to join their organization to market their products to them, of which there is a lot of?
It's a delicate balance.
Right. But we just want people to be honest about it.
And absolutely.
That's how it fit in there. So that was an interesting panel.
Absolutely.
And right now there's a lot of stuff that goes on at night. You know, there's a lot of script reading.
Yeah, Deb Monroe's performing in the other room, playing live.
Yeah. So everybody is saying this has been a great conference. I mean, I hang out in the vendor area most of the time, but
we have done all the conferences, right? Yeah. We have done all of them.
And this is almost everyone.
For its scale, and they say they have surpassed 1,000 attendees at this point.
Wow. But
they're at a capacity now. They're sold out.
Yeah.
They're keeping it together. Nothing's falling apart at the seams too much, you know, from the presenter side that we're on, that on this end, it's been a very smooth process, and I will be happy to come back.
Yeah, I'll come back. I mean, the last time I was here, it got a little monotonous at times. And of course, the opening ceremonies and all that stuff made me want to sell Amway. It was a real gung-ho rah-rah.
That was interesting.
But but the best part is really seeing the people we know.
Yeah.
And the people who are very, very talented, because some of the top talent in our business is here.
I mean,
Dave Fenoy is here, and Scott Parkin,
yep.
and Lori Allen. I didn't see Lori, but I know she's here.
She's definitely here. I was lucky enough to have lunch with her.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah,
she's doing great.
And and then I've met some really good people.
Yeah.
And I got to eat at the Waffle House.
Yeah, we ate at the Waffle House. We had breakfast or dinner last night with Byron Wagner and my daughter Elijah, who we're going to talk to in a little bit. Yeah, it was quite an experience.
Yeah, it's the White Castle of the South, I think, is the best way to describe it. Yeah, I mean, the food was edible. It was okay. It was absolutely an experience.
It's just the people. It's the attitude. It's the way people, it's just a thing down here.
Right.
But people are real cool. They're real nice and want to help each other out. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that was fun. And we were really hungry, and it really didn't matter what we ate.
That's kind of true. That's true.
But not to say anything bad about the Waffle House, I mean, they serve, disaster people when they, there's a disaster. They're open 24 hours a day. If there's a disaster and the place hasn't been knocked down by a tornado, they feed all the...
That's right.
All the disaster work. According to Byron Wagner, who we've learned that he's right about everything.
He does his research.
He does. He knows his stuff.
Well, we've got a couple of people to talk to. One of them here with us, my daughter Elijah, is going to share about the kids program. Mm-hmm. We also have a kind of a VIP.
Yeah.
Anna Collins.
She's running the whole thing.
She is the CEO.
Yeah.
And she agreed to come on. So we're going to take a break, go round her up, and we'll see what happens.
Outstanding. Stay tuned. And we're here with Anna Collins, who is running this whole shebang at VO Atlanta 2023. Has it met all your expectations so far?
It has. It really has. It's been a dream come true in many ways, and an incredible effort, not only from me, but from Lynn Norris, Jessica Matheson, Kayla Jackson, and so many other more, and incredible ambassadors that have volunteered their time. It's just been, really a dream come true, and it has definitely met my expectations.
How long did it take to really plan this? I mean, there were bits and pieces here and there, but really pulling the whole thing together, what did it really take?
A year. We literally started the week after the last one finished to start negotiations with the hotel, do some preliminary work with vendors to find, to help us bring the vision to life. It has literally been, 11 and a half months.
How much did you feel like we're going to have to do this over again? And how much of it was like, this is working, we're just going to, like, from an HR perspective, from operations, how much of it did you have to just start all over, and how much did you get to adopt?
95%, I'd say, was new.
Yeah.
Just because we had different operational methods. Yeah. So, and also what worked in some things, because we were doing so many new stuff and adding so many more sessions on a Thursday and a Sunday.
Oh, right,
and also just, changing the ticket styles, and we weren't quite sure what the numbers would look like. That's always what you do when you start planning. You hope for the best, of course, and you hope that, you pull it off and you meet other people's expectations, not just my own, but mm-hmm. of course other people's. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I do see familiar faces on the boots on the ground folks, though.
Yes.
Like that there's a number of people that are back from years past who are in some of the same roles.
Yes. Every single one of them actually reached out. We had a call for volunteers, and all of them said, I want to help. What can I do? And they are my superstars. I really call them, because that's literally what they are. We've all said we want to help. We want to contribute. They've all been so generous with their time, and they've just been knocking it out. I'm just beyond grateful, because they're obviously what makes everything run.
Well, we knew we were going to see Uncle Roy. That's just a gift.
That's the important thing. Yeah, they've definitely been helpful. Like you said last night, if there's a problem, we'll take care of it. And that certainly has been the case. If we ask for something has happened. It's not easy to find good help these days. But in the voiceover community, you have a unique community of people that really want to help out. This is a very large conference. We've got, 1,000 people here now?
Pretty close.
I have noticed that the attitude is a little bit different. It's a little smoother running than we've seen in the past. There's a flow to it that works really, really well. and people are really enjoying themselves. And that's really important for something like this. What did it take to really bring all that together? And what type of ideas, what things did you change?
Well, it's quite a question.
Well, you know, well, the Reader's Digest.
Okay, I'll try to keep it short because I didn't be here for a while.
Yeah.
Well, first off, you know, we started off with great ideas. And the first thing I did after we took over was assemble an amazing group of advisory women who are, and my husband too, of course, so, you know, not just women, but people who were like agents and casting directors and branding and also just saying, what would you like us? Because it really is about what your customer wants. And I wanted to make sure we got it as right as possible. So they were all very generous and said, here's some ideas. And I said, wait, I have this idea. Does it look right to you? Because you can plan a great conference, but if you're not planning for your clients that are your customers, which we see every single one of these people as, they're our clients, they're our guests, they're our customers. So we wanted to make it an experience for them. You can plan an incredible conference, but if you don't plan the right one or the right way, it could come across the wrong way. So to get it as right as we could, it's not always perfect, I guarantee you that.
Not that we see. It looks perfect from our perspective. What goes on behind the... Listen, we do this show all the time. What goes on behind the scenes is...
Yeah, there's a fire going behind me. You have no idea.
Care, right?
That's the idea. Never let them see a sweat.
So, and then starting off from there, then coming up with ideas, then reaching out. A lot of the vendors were brand new. We had to find a group of vendors. Came back to Atlanta to specifically meet with about 12 to 13 vendors over a couple of days to see who was the right fit for audiovisual, for furniture, for layouts, for things like that too, you know, digital screens, I mean, lighting, everything, you know. So we got quotes from different companies.
I think I have another battery.
It was important for you to have a lot of women represented and be a part of this team for you. I mean,
yes.
You came out at the beginning of the show, who runs the world? Girls.
That was great.
I have a daughter, so I, you know, for me, that's really fun. And so were you successful in getting a team together that you feel really represents?
I really did. I mean, it's important for me to have diversity in everything, both in all aspects of voiceover, you know, because I'm not a voiceover person myself. I'm training slowly, but my talents lie more in event.
Okay, that's good.
So I wanted to make sure from a voiceover perspective and also from a talent perspective, from a casting, from a director perspective that I got as many aspects, because I wanted to understand what would be important to the voiceover community, not just what's important to me. Or to J. Michael, of course. And of course, he understands it very well, but I wanted also to get their input saying, if you're going to a conference, what is something we could do to help improve it? You know, so, yeah.
That's
and
great.
So it's also men. I have an incredible head of tech, which is, you know, Stephen George. I've got Roy Oakleson. Yeah. I've got all these incredible...
Stephen and Uncle Roy back is great.
It's kind of a staple.
Yeah.
And also they've assembled a great AV team, and I really rely on them to make... I'm not a tech person by any stretch of my imagination. I just want it to look really good and sound great. And But they are the brains behind that part, and I kind of let them run, you know, as he see fits. And he's just, I mean, unbelievable, amazing.
I'm glad I'm not doing it. I'm glad I get
That's
to just show
work.
Up.
It is.
The AV is very impressive. I mean, the big screen and all that—that's not something you would expect to see at a voiceover conference. They're usually like, you know, low budget operations.
It's a high level.
This was really pro.
I was really thrilled when I saw it all put together because, of course, you hear a lot of quotes and you see a lot of numbers, and I'm not so good at feet because we do meters. But the AV company, House of Music, I definitely got a lot of props to them because they were really great to work with and they really helped. Our vision, mine and J. Michael's vision, come to life. We wanted it to feel, and also the sound really good too, because I remember other conferences, I'm like, what did he say? You're sitting at the back or you can't hear so well. I'm like, we're at a voiceover conference, the sound's got to be good, you know? So, and also wanted people to see things like, you know, from the back, not have to be like squinting or, you know, trying to scramble. I'm short, so someone's, you know, tall sits in front of me that can be, you know, can't see so well. So, yeah. And also just, you know, We had a vision. We both had a vision of what we wanted it to look like, and it's been unbelievably amazing and to see it come to life.
Now, in a big commercial conference like this, it's important to have sponsors, and there's some amazing sponsors here. A lot of and vendors that are, you know, that are showing people their wares and stuff. And the vendor area usually is in a big open room. It's very echoey. And you're like, what? Having it in a more intimate style the way you have it here was really nice, because you'll find that the people that are in the vendor area are the people that everyone that George and I know, because we've been going to these conferences for, right, for 15 years. Yeah. And so those are all our friends. And yet we've met some new ones, and we've made a bunch of new friends this year. What does it really take to convince people to come and sponsor and to be a vendor here?
Well, actually, to be honest, J. Michael actually does most, like, the sponsorships and everything too is really his specialty. But some people reached out to. We all send like a sponsor prospectus to a lot of contacts and a list of people that we, you know, we'll see if they're interested and everything too. So, yeah, it's very much, it's kind of like we send out messages. We like, would you like be interested? If people reach out to us, it's kind of a mix of both.
Well, it's good because sometimes there'll be, you know, vendors that are there and they really don't understand the voiceover market. It seems that most of the vendors that are at this particular one, they all are very, very specific to voiceover.
They all seem really suited for this industry.
We definitely made it absolutely clear like what the conference was, so there was no misunderstandings there. And also, a lot of people actually, like presenters and also, have given us ideas of who they could send it to or who might like to. So it's been very much a team effort in that way. And also, of course, I got to give a lot of credit to my husband, Jay McCollins, because he's the one who really, you know, the presenters and the sponsors, it's really been his, and the schedule and everything too. I take care of the rest, a lot of the logistics and everything too.
All the nuts and bolts you're dealing with, the logistics, too.
I have to give absolute credit to him for that, because that was really quite a beast to put together for him. So
he is a force of nature, and if anybody's going to do it, he will. So, Anna, it's been great talking with you, and congratulations so far. This has been fabulous, and I think as everybody gets warmed into it even more, it will continue to run smoothly. So congratulations.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me, both of you.
Thank you.
And we're back here at VO Atlanta 2023, talking to lots of great people. We have a very special guest right now, because there's a program that's running concurrently here for child voice actors. We wouldn't quite consider you a child, but a young lady who I've known since...
The youth.
Yes, she's one of the youths here. A young lady I've known since she was in small diapers. Yes, I've known you for a long time. It's Elijah Whittem.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Now, you're participating in, you know, the young people's program, or what should we call it? The youth's program?
Call it the kids program.
Kids program. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. What have you been doing? What kind of classes and activities have they had?
Well, they've basically been just doing like really fun games to like show the basics of voiceover, like little improv games and just fun ways to do like show the warm-ups and stuff like that. Like they are showing, like there was this one game where there's two walls and then you would split into groups and line up on the wall. And the person, you know, teaching it, I forgot his name.
Scott?
No, it wasn't Scott. It was the person at the end. But you would basically split up in the groups, and what you would do is, it was for the gibberish class for like Dungeons and Dragons. Basically what you would do is you would pair up with people in the lines, and then you'd basically have like a normal conversation, but like in gibberish, like you'd act like you're talking to them, but like you're just saying random. Exactly. Yeah.
I love gibberish.
So they have fun things like that to basically teach them the ropes of how things work in voiceover.
And loosen you up.
Yeah, exactly.
Make you guys feel at ease with each other. Just have a good time. And then maybe tomorrow you get to, you know, get a little more serious stuff into.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've been studying voiceover, well, obviously, most of your life, since your old man seems to be involved.
Osmotically.
Yeah. And, of course, now you have that booth at home, which, you're moving to Atlanta, but having the facility at home was pretty cool.
She's got two studios, one in L.A. and one in Atlanta.
Ah. All right. Well, it's always important to have the kids help pay the rent. If they can do it.
And in this day and age, that's the way it works.
Yeah. But it gives you the opportunity to see really what this job really involves. And if you can learn it early on, it makes a very easy transition to doing it full-time professionally. And have you booked any work yet?
No, but I did do at least one audition like a month ago, I think. It was
like a real audition.
Yeah, like an actual legit audition, which I think was pretty cool, but obviously I didn't get it because we haven't heard back. But I'm not surprised I didn't get it because there was lots of more very talented people and more experienced people auditioning for the role, and I only have like 5 months of training so far. So, but it was cool, like doing the audition, seeing what it would really be like if I was to do like an actual audition for like a show or a cartoon. Yeah.
And your coach is Martha Kahn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that why you're here? Because she's the coach and happens to be running the kids program?
I guess.
Or is there any other reason why you came?
Possibly because you sprung it on me last minute and were like, okay, we're going. I already booked the flight and the hotel, so pack your bags.
Doesn't sound like you came kicking and screaming.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
There was a brief moment of shock.
Yeah, I was like, what?
You know, being in a large, crowded room of strangers is not your first thing on your list of things to do.
But you've
adapted to it really well.
Yeah, it's definitely not scary as I imagine it to be, obviously, because you like to psych yourself out about things like that. But yeah, it's been really fun so far. But yeah.
We haven't really seen the kids out there. I mean, they've separated off to a totally different part of the hotel.
Yeah, they're kind of sequestered to the lower level downstairs. And I'm sure there's good reasons for that. Keep them focused and kind of keep the distractions away, right? Do you guys feel like you can really focus down there? There's nobody milling around. There's nobody watching. There's no parents watching.
Definitely, because one of the main reasons why they didn't want parents down there watching their kids doing it was because they didn't want them to feel like they needed to perform when they were doing it, because they wanted it to be a safe place to make mistakes, be themselves, be loose with it. So, but like if there's parents there, they're automatically is like, okay, I need to do good. I need to perform for them. So that
took an adjustment for me when you're coaching at home in our studio, yeah. Because I wanted to, that the first couple of times I was actually in the room. I was sitting on the sofa. I was watching, listening. And eventually Martha's like, You should go. Let Elijah play and not feel like she's performing, which is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Martha's been really great. The more she does this, the more we're seeing that she understands how to work with kids and develop their skills. And the more you do anything, like studying home studios and stuff, the better you get at it. And Martha has really done that. And she's fun to work with, isn't she?
Very, very. She's very easy to talk with and be loose with and just have fun, you know? She's not very judgmental.
Can't be with kids, you know, which is why the parents aren't allowed in there. You know, it's like, you know, come on, you can do this better, Jenny. Right. I work with parents and they're like, gotta set up the studio. Let the kids be kids. And that's really the best part of it.
Yeah. We know that voiceover isn't your first passion, though. I know this.
No, it was not my first
choice. So what is your first passion, right? What is the thing that you really enjoy doing with your time?
I really enjoy drawing, mostly like people drawing. I want to learn to do more things like backgrounds and objects and animals and stuff like that. But my main thing is drawing people or portraits. I've definitely put a lot of my passion and time into drawing, a lot more than voiceover, to be honest. But I feel like I want to try putting a lot more of my daily routine into, you know, reading more out loud, because that's what I've been constantly being told to do especially for voiceover and stuff, is to keep reading out loud to, you know, make it easier to read scripts and stuff like that. But I've definitely put a lot more of my passion and interests into drawing.
Have you done any animation or tried to do some work like that?
Actually, I have. It was just simple animations, but they honestly aren't that good because I don't really know where to start with animation. I actually did take a school class because in fourth grade, I think, before COVID started, they had an after-school program called Hearts. And you could do like extra like clubs thingies. And I chose animation because that was an option. It was actually really fun. We did it on paper. So it was like, it took a while for us to do at least one animation. That's unfortunately all we got to do because that's when COVID happened. We had the school had to shut down, so we had to stop it. Yeah. But it was really fun for the first couple months that I got to do it.
If you can do animation and voices, you can bring your own characters to life, which is kind of cool. I know my son does that, and you know he fortunately has a father with a voiceover studio as well, and you know it's kind of fun. So what are your future plans for, you know, after this? Are you going to continue to pursue voiceover and then really see if it's something you want to do or something along with a lot of other things?
Yeah, I think I would, because at the beginning, before this convention, I was still kind of in between of like, do I really want to do this? Is this really what I want to do for a while?
I think you were worried that committing to coming to this, that there was a little bit of pressure on you, that if your dad's going to bring you to this, that you really have to give this a real go. And I wanted to make sure that pressure wasn't really that being here would inspire you to want to keep doing it. And not that being here is like, well, if you're here, you better take it seriously, you know, that kind of thing.
I didn't think that. Honestly, I know I had to go anyway, but it's not like I was like, no, I really don't want to do this. I can't believe Dad's making me do this.
There was a moment where you were feeling
that.
There
was a moment.
The moment of shock when I sprung it on you.
Why would you do this?
Yeah.
But no, I think I definitely, after this, really want to give it a go and maybe put a little bit more dedication into it. But I definitely still want to pursue art and maybe also a lot more voiceover.
Can I ask you something that maybe might feel a little personal, and we can edit this out if you don't like to talk about it. You're very new to wearing glasses. How did that come to be? Because you were doing okay without them. So why glasses now? Or how did that come to be?
Well, I've always kind of had a problem of skipping over words and sentences and, you know, adding words in and stuff like that. I also had a problem with the words would like mash together almost. Because it was like my eyes wouldn't focus on them properly. And one day during a session, Martha was like, after the session, you came in and I overheard you talking about like, yeah, I think she needs glasses or something like that. Because she keeps on like mixing up words or adding in words or forgetting words or mixing up sentences and stuff like that. Because we were already considering about getting me glasses, but we just weren't like, it was like, a side thought almost, not like, okay. Oh, we're not actually going to do it, but it's like a possibility. But
yeah.
I guess after Martha was like, yeah, you need glasses. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll
She said you should have your eyes checked and just see, you know, we didn't know. So what was the diagnosis? What are the glasses helping you with?
It's my eyes like to rest at the sides of my eye sockets where it's like they like to be outwards more than inwards. It's called... My eyes are divergent. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the glasses help with that. And did you notice immediately? Once you got used to wearing them, did you notice that you could read your lines a little easier?
Before I actually read any sentences, I kept on like going like this, like seeing the differences of like smaller letters or words that were like farther away, kind of smaller. I did notice a big difference actually. It was like way clearer and it wasn't like kind of blurring up just slightly. But when I did finally read sentences, it definitely did get a little bit easier. And it was definitely way more clearer to see the sentences.
When I started back 25 years ago and doing voiceover, and I hadn't done any for a while after being in broadcasting, I remember going into a studio to cut some demos and looking at the script going, that's when I knew I needed glasses too. Mm. I thought I would never be someone that would wear them.
But I hate to say that you were destined to wear glasses is not really fair, but you were kind of destined.
Yeah.
But between me and your mom.
Yeah, this, mom had glasses since she was three, so yeah,
sorry about that.
It was kind of meant to be. I was just kind of in denial for a long time. So I was like, I'm not gonna need glasses, I'm fine. I have two pairs of glasses now.
Lashes, great talking to you. It's always a pleasure talking to you, especially when you come to the studio with your dad and hang out with us. But we're really proud of you for looking at this and seeing that, you know, this is a potential career or part of a career. So congratulations on coming out here and sticking with it.
Yeah. This seems to be really a cool experience, and I can't wait to do it tomorrow. I just need a good good sleep because I'm very tired after the 7 hours.
It's been
hours.
A 12-hour day for you, actually.
It's 12 hours. Yeah.
We started at 9. It's 9 now.
Well, 7 hours of actually being in classes.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Go to bed.
Very tired.
I'm proud of you very much. I love you.
Love you, too.
Oh, that was cool. That was nice to hear her a week later after that. You know, a lot has happened since we did that. She now lives there, which is crazy. She actually moved across country with her mom and is living there. And I still can't believe it, but she's there. Sorry.
Oh, you'll
I shouldn't talk about this stuff live because I can guarantee it's going to trigger me. But she's over there, but. She's got a huge industry to behind her and so many great contacts and people to interact with. Showbiz in Atlanta is a growing industry like crazy. There's so many things she can access. So really, really looking forward to see what comes forward for her in the future. It was great we could have her on. Thanks for having her invited and having her being interviewed on VOBS.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to take a break right now. And if you were at VO Atlanta, and you have some thoughts about it, put your, you know, let Jeff Holman in the chat room know that, and we will get you on here, and we'll talk about it and hear what you guys have to say. And then we got more stuff to do with that. So we'll take a break right now, and we'll be right back with more stuff here at VoiceOver Body Shop, so don't go away.
This is the Latin Lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on the VoiceOver Body Shop.
As voice actors, we need to hear the clear, transparent, and honest sound of our voices. Harlan Hogan Signature Series Voice Optimized Headphones 2.0 provide both that accurate, transparent sound with enhanced mid-range audio, less bass, and the creature comforts voice workers deserve. Clearly different from traditional studio headphones, the upper mids and highs are clear as a bell. No muffling or cross-bleeding between frequencies. Like a pair of studio monitors, the low is there, but at the same level as the rest of the spectrum. They're comfortable like no other phones I've worn. That's because Harlan used actual leather for the pads. It's like putting on a pair of leather gloves for your ears. They're also very light for their size, as Harlan made them from aluminum instead of plastic. The headband is flexible like a watch band, and the plug comes out for walking away. Get the only headphones designed for VO, Harlan Hogan Signature Series Voice Optimized Headphones 2.0 for just $149 with free shipping from voiceoveressentials.com.
I'm wearing those headphones right now, actually, and I'm smacking into the headphones, smacking into my mic with them. Anyway, let's move on and thank our sponsors, Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect. They were actually there in the house. They were at VO Atlanta and demonstrating their latest updates to their softwares, Source Connect and Nexus. And there is some exciting stuff coming soon. We'd love to we'll keep you tuned in about what's happening in the Source Connect world. But there is new things on the near horizon that I can't share yet, but it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to really make it easier to interact with studios. But at this stage of the game, and as it's been for a very long time, you want to make sure you're familiar on at least a basic level as how Source Connect works, how it would work in your studio, and what you need to do to be ready to use it. And they have a huge amount of education on their site, really helpful support. We at George the Tech, of course, have the best support out there for third-party software, hardware to assist if you run out of support on the Source Elements side. We even have Rob himself, Robert Marshall, the co-founders of Source Elements, here at George the Tech. He's one of the first guys who will answer the phone if you get on an emergency call with George the Tech to help you. But we are here to support you in your Source Connect journey and all things Source Elements. So let us know if you need anything. But anyway, go over there, get your trial, get up and running with Source Elements, and be ready when the big gig comes into your inbox. All right, let's get on to the rest of that show right after this.
Hey, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and we talk a lot in this business about moving forward with our career, getting more information. We often don't talk about simply getting started. it can be one of the most immovable objects in our life, getting out of our own way and just simply taking the first step. And if you're watching this podcast, Voiceover Body Shop, for some tips on how to get started in voiceover, or to change something about your voiceover career, or to increase your knowledge in a certain area, check out voheroes.com's Getting Started in Voiceover. If you go to voheroes.com/start, you'll get all the information. It's really cheap, and I give you a lot to get started in the business, but you might also learn something if you've been in the voiceover business for a while. voheroes.com/start. That's voheroes.com/start.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
And we're back. Yeah, it was wonderful hearing from everybody that we talked to at VO Atlanta. I mean, there were a lot of good conversations that we had with people that we haven't had in a long time. I had a chance to talk with James Allberger, who started all of this with the voice conferences back in 2007.
Seven, right? Yeah. I can remember seven because I know I went to the second one.
You were there in 2008.
How I know it was 2007.
Wow. That's where you and I met. So,
2007 was the one that Don LaFontaine came to.
Yes, he did.
Right. Wasn't it in Vegas?
Yes. Somebody once asked him while he was there, is there room in the business for all these other people to do trailers? And he went, yes, when I die. And unfortunately, he died about 6 months later.
Isn't so, that bizarre?
And look at all the guys doing trailers now. But he was a
Not
special
that many.
Guy. Yeah, exactly.
Still pretty. It's about the most elite voiceover gig there is, I think, is trailers still. Yeah.
And nobody that was in that room. Well, we'd love to have your comments on VO Atlanta if you were there, and so we can add you onto our broadcast here. You know, and here's somebody who is a regular viewer of our show, and he came up and then was just there the rest of the weekend. Rob Ryder.
Right. Hi, guys.
Rob Reeder. Reader, writer, raider.
Writer it is.
Writer it is.
Oh, man. It was great to meet both of you guys. I've been following the show and following your admonitions and your training and your suggestions for a long time. As you notice, I'm right there with the microphone in the right place. But boy, George, your daughter, what a treat and what a sweetheart she is. And you're so right about Atlanta. I got some friends in the Atlanta production business, and they are just busier than they're just making money hand over fist. It's quite a center.
I'm glad to hear that.
Good stuff,
because her mother moved there for some greener pastures as well. You know, that's why they're there, and she's a photographer, so you know, opportunities will be a little bit more forthcoming to her there. I think a little bit less so looking forward to see what happens.
Yeah, what were your overall impressions, Rob?
Overall impressions were very strong. First time I've been to the conference, and the audiobook track was especially strong with Scott Brick and Suzanne running that, and with Johnny Heller and all the rest of the folks. I got involved in X sessions with Johnny Heller. I then went on to APAC in New York, and that's more a networking thing. Oh man, I was so overloaded, and I did not get COVID. But the audiobook track was so strong at VO Atlanta. I would highly recommend it for anybody who wants to get involved with that. I stayed at the Drury, ran into Lori Allen, never met her, had breakfast with her, which was kind of fun. I did go to the Waffle House and had breakfast at dinner, scattered, smothered, covered, and chunked.
That's the Waffle House.
but it was just so nice to meet you guys. Ryan White from Rode, I got to talk to him, and I'm going to be announcing an air show in Kansas City, and I'm going to meet with him out there this coming summer. And and the food that J. Michael put out there, the two lunches were unbelievably tasty and plentiful. Yeah. So I'm definitely going back. I had not initially intended to go, and then my audiobook coach, Hillary Huber, suggested, well, yeah, but we'll have fun. And so yeah. I showed up and I had way more than fun. It was totally worth it. But primarily, no doubt about it, meeting you two guys was really, is really a treat. So thank you for that opportunity to spend that cool. you gave me, the time you gave me.
We were yeah. all in one, we were all in like one little clustered up group.
Jordan sort of shoved in there.
Yeah. Dan was over there at Wovo, the Wovo booth. We were all right there. So yeah. it was really
oh, and I joined Wovo too. So yeah. I'm
good job.
Part
good
of boy. The fam.
That's great to know.
So, well, anyway, thanks yeah. guys. I don't want to keep you forever. So
okay. We appreciate that. Anyway, but thanks for being there. All righty. If anybody else was there at VO Atlanta, we'd love to hear from you and have your thoughts on it. And what made it special for you? And what was it good? Was it this? Was it that? There was so much to it, though. I mean, there were so many sessions. There were a lot of X sessions. You did an X session. You know, I think did. For a big commercial production like that, where yeah. you've got all these people in there, I suppose the X sessions made sense. What was it right. That you did differently in an X session that you or I might have done at a in an hour session or something?
Yeah, well, I had never gotten to do an X session before, and I hadn't done a 3-hour live in person workshop in a long time. So I honestly didn't know exactly the scope of what I was going to be able to cover, and so I went into it with a slideshow that was kind of a I call it a mic to MP3. I just had to come up with something. It's an old name I had from used years ago, right? But it was just me answering people's questions and throwing a lot of things at them and seeing how they handle it. You don't know what those 12 people are going to know. You don't know who they're going to be that sign up. You don't know what their skill level is when they come in. But with 12 people, it really allowed me to make it a free-flowing presentation, rather than when I do my remote webinars, my typical online webinars where, okay, I'm going to talk for 1 hour and 20 to 30 minutes or 40 minutes for a really long time, and then I'm going to answer your questions. I wanted it to feel a lot more interactive. I wanted people to be able to interject, ask questions real time, and make it feel like we're all in the same room. Let's take advantage of that. So there was a lot of talk about mic placement. After I did a pretty long spiel about acoustics and really demonstrated how bad acoustics work, because the conference rooms, I mean, come on, guys, these are rooms made for communication and they had zero acoustical treatment, just hard surfaces. They were so reverberant, but it was so funny. But yeah, it was a great way to demonstrate acoustics because it was a badly acoustically treated room. And so people got to hear that, and we got to talk a lot about mic placement and really get to talk about people's specific situations, what they are using, what mic they're using, how to make it work better for them. So that was neat. Getting really that lot of one-on-one personal time. Yeah. And I think it worked out really well.
Yeah. Well, we shot that bit on Friday night.
Yep.
And then on Saturday was the most fun because that was like, we had an audio masters, yeah, we like to call them the round table, but it was a panel, and on it was you, me, Uncle Roy, Larry Hudson, mm-hmm. Dan Friedman, Tim Tippetts, and Dave, whose last name escapes me because I hadn't met him before. But that was great because I think for the most part, I got the first question and it was like, what's most important? I said acoustics, and everybody agreed. And I'm like, okay, we can all go home now. it was great to have people who think like we do. And you got to remember that people who actually work with home voiceover studios, we come from a lot of different angles at it, and yeah. some have a slightly different attitude about it. But it's...
Overwhelmingly, we're on the same page. As we always seem to find, about 80% of the time, maybe more, we're totally on the same page. 20% of the time, we have some different ideas about how we should accomplish the details. And we have a lot of clients who work with all of us or in a mixture of us. Some have worked with Uncle Roy and Dan and me, or me and Jordan, or me and Uncle Roy and Jordan. All these different combinations. Tim Tippetts.
Yeah.
Which was great to see him there and looking and feeling, apparently feeling much better.
Clearly.
you know, and hearing how everybody's work with all these different people, and what happens is when people do this, yeah, they learn a lot, but some folks tend to get hung up on that last 10 to 20% where we have different ideas about how to execute things. And that can get people in a little bit of, not trouble, it just frustrates them because then they're like, well, what really is the right answer? And at the end of the day, we can't all hand it to you. You do have to make your own decision. That's what the right. We've given you a lot of the right information. We've given you some different things. Like somebody came into my X session. She said, I was told I should get a Windows computer. You're telling me I should get a Mac computer. Which is the right answer? And all I could do, of course, again, was give her my perspective and my experience.
Right.
So that's the way it goes. You do have to make your own decisions at the end of the day. You're running your own business. You have to steer your own ship, but get the best crew you possibly can.
Yeah. And Jordan Reynolds ran that particular panel very, very well.
He did.
Until his wife started to talk.
Mara. Oh, that's where things got interesting when Mara stood up to talk. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's indeed. Like, asking all of us these very detailed questions, and you know, we all look at Jordan and we're like, take it home.
It's like, what was that? Clearly that Jordan's probably had to deal with Mara and try to answer for her or try to work with, you know, work on with her. And she wasn't getting the answers that she wanted from Jordan, so she asked the rest of us.
Yeah.
Awkward.
It was very awkward, but it was still fun. You know, just lining up for a picture. I mean, you don't get a picture of all of us together like that. I mean, we are a very exclusive fraternity. I mean, there's other people that, you know, say they, you know, they work with home voiceover studios and stuff.
Well, but who was missing really that definitely could have been on stage with us was Tim Friedlander.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah. Cliff Zellman.
Cliff
who was there, but he wasn't in that particular.
It was impossible to literally have ever. That's how big of a conference. There's so much going on that you still can't get everybody on stage. Plus, you might have, I don't know if you noticed at the very beginning, I was holding a glass of champagne.
Champagne, yeah. So
the champagne toast was at the same time as our panel. So I grabbed a glass and ran out to do the panel at the end.
Yeah, you've got a great video of the glass sort of like in front of you the entire time and perfectly aimed.
Oh, Jeff Gelder is in the chat. Jeff Gelder.
Yeah,
can you jump in, Jeff?
Yeah, winner of the Unicorn Award for his annual holiday CD.
Yeah, that would be one. Yeah, the Unicorn Award was, I mean, I have video of that whole thing too. It's 26 minutes long. It's really long. Trey is saving his voice. He's just getting over. Oh, damn, Trey. Trey, who's been a watch. We've known Trey. He's been a fan of ours forever.
Yeah.
He was there. I got to say hi to Trey. He says, I'm saving his voice, getting over COVID. Damn. Yeah.
A number of people came down with COVID. That's the thing about a conference now is, if you're careful, you wash your hands, you don't get too close to people, you're not going to get COVID. So we've got WovoCon coming up in a month, exactly a month. And we're trying to come up, what's the policy going to be? And we're thinking, you know, respect other people if they're wearing a mask and, you know, don't make a political thing out of it. You know, people are entitled to, protect themselves.
People that wanted to protect themselves wore a mask. I mean, it's different in every city. In LA, it's you're free to do your thing. If you want to wear one, when you don't want to wear one. I think a lot of these conference halls, conference spaces, people are becoming, after 3 years of this, getting accustomed to some people have a mask on. Some people don't have a mask on.
Right.
If you can't handle that at this point, just don't even show up to any conference.
Indeed.
That's
indeed.
My opinion.
Yeah. Well, it was a great show. Anyway, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back and wrap things up for this particular hour and then rack it for Tech Talk. And if you got a question for Tech Talk, throw it in the chat room now, because George and I love getting questions about home voiceover studio tech. So we'll be right back here at Voiceover Body Shop, so don't go away.
You're still watching VOBS?
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. There's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products, and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources, and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
All right, I got to tell you guys a story. About 10 years ago, my good friend Joe Davis gave me a call and he says, what can I do for the voiceover business? Now, Joe is a webmaster. He was primarily designing websites for Midtown Manhattan law firms. And he's like, I want to help the voiceover business. What would work? And I said, you know something? And this is the way I stated it to him. Your voiceover website shouldn't be a pain in the ass because it takes forever to create a website. You got to talk to your webmaster. They'll charge you $25 for adding a comma. And then people start to become very elaborate in it. And all you really need is your name, your demos, your contact information, and a nice background. And if he could create something that was templated, that would be a lot easier. So 10 years later, no, he started voiceactorwebsites.com, and where we were doing, they were somewhat templated, but people could design their websites. And after 10 years, now he has 30 people working for him. But now we have voiceactor.com, which is, it's amazing because look at all the different templates that are in there. All you have to do is go in there and you can do it for free to start. That's right, for free. If you go into the homepage here, you can build it, your website, in minutes, and you can get started for free. And then it's not really all that expensive, but $20 a month to have your website the way you want it. And not only that, but it also includes where it gets hosted. So you're on like that. And George and I started using this, and it was absolutely amazing because we were able to do it literally in 10, 15 minutes. And we had a website. We had a website for Elijah. We had a website for my son, Jacob. And there it was. So if you want to try it, go try it free over at voiceactor.com. That's voiceactor.com. Let us know how it goes for you.
We are the World Voices Organization,
also known as WOVO. We're the not-for-profit industry association of freelance voice talent. VoiceOver is a complex entrepreneurial business.
WOVO is there to promote the professional nature of voice work to the public, to those already established in their voiceover practice,
and to those who want to pursue voiceover as a career.
Membership benefits include
a supportive and creative community,
a profile and demos on voiceover.biz, our searchable directory of vetted professional voice talent,
our exclusive demo player for your personal website,
our mentoring program, business resources, and our video library,
our annual WOVOCon conference, a fun and educational weekend with other members with the chance to learn and network,
webinars and great speakers, and weekly social chats with other members around the world.
If your world is voiceover,
make WOVO part of it. World Voices Organization.
We speak for those who speak for a living.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Alas Rocky, the voice of
Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
All right. Well, we got time for one more person who was there who was greatly honored, and that was Jeff Gelder. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Can you see me?
Yeah. We can see you. We can hear you. You have 60 seconds. Go. What were your thoughts? Aside from winning the Unicorn Award, which had lots of benefits to it. What was your impression of the conference?
That was definitely my favorite part, I have to say.
I would imagine.
But I thought that it was phenomenal. This was my first VO Atlanta ever. And from what I've heard, it was the best one so far. I hate to say it, but I think they might have raised the bar on WOVO a Well, they're two different things. So.
Right. We'll have 100 people. There was 1,000 there. So ours will be a little bit more intimate.
Yeah. No, I was excited about that. A lot of different speakers that I'd never seen in the last 10 years of going to places like that. The camaraderie, the love in the room was huge, for sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was great seeing you there. And it was great watching you win the Unicorn Award. How are you going to use all of that stuff that they gave you?
Oh, my God. You know, it's a little overwhelming. I'm still like, after they read the list for about 30 minutes, I shut down and just, I don't remember what's on that list. We're about to get into it, I think, in the next few days and figure out who gets what and how that works. But already I've got this wonderful $1,000 donation to the charity from Deborah Wilson, which is, you know, amazing. So those are the best parts of it. But it's exciting to revamp, you know, some of the studio and the career and go to some other conferences and make some new demos. And everything I wanted to do. Didn't have
great. That's great.
Incredible.
Yeah. And it's helping out your charity for the annual holiday CD that you guys give out. And that's a really cool project. We'll talk more about it. As we go towards the holidays, we'll talk to you about it. And maybe we can help promote it. Cool. Thanks for being with us.
I want to thank George too for the video. That was awesome to be able to see what happened without remembering.
Yeah, it was like behind you off to the side in this other perspective. So you got to watch the whole thing. It was like an out-of-body experience.
It was really surreal.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All righty. Well, it's that time to say goodbye and get revved up for Tech Talk. If you got a question for Tech Talk, we do it live. And if you're watching live, you get to ask your questions, and that's what we want to hear from you. So we'll get to that. In the meantime, so next week, you're going to hear your questions answered on Tech Talk number 100, if you can believe that. Yeah, 100 Tech Talks. My God. So stay tuned for that. We need to thank our donors of the week, like Grace Newton, who I know is watching.
Hey, Robert Leadham.
Steve Chandler.
Casey Clack.
Jonathan Grant.
Thomas Pinto.
Greg Thomas.
Hey, Dr. Voice.
Antland Productions.
Martha Kahn.
Hey, Martha, my dear. 949 Designs.
Christopher Epperson.
Sarah Borges.
Philip Sapir.
Brian Page.
Patty Gibbons.
Rob Rader. Writer, reader, reader.
Shuna Pennington Bard.
Don Griffith.
Trey Mosley.
Hey, Trey. Diana Birdsall. And
Sandra
Manwiller. All right. Hey, join our mailing list, too, so you know what we're going to be doing on this show every week, because I send that out, and you get to find out what's going on. We need to thank our wonderful sponsors. Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActor.com. And
WorldVoices.org.
That's right. We are the Industry Association of Freelance Voice Talent. Join us today. Thanks to Jeff Holman for getting everybody together in the chat room. And, of course, Sue Merlino for getting it done from the switchboard. And of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Well, look, this was an interesting show. You got a little bit of a flavor of what VO Atlanta was about. Maybe you want to go next year, you know, and hopefully not get COVID. But also learn an awful lot about the voiceover business, which is why we're here every week, doing what we do to help you out with your home voiceover studio and your voiceover career. So make sure you're here for that. Anyway, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Close enough. Stay tuned for Tech Talk.